have any seats near you and you can squeeze in a little bit, go ahead and raise your hand. We're going to get some more chairs and some other things to get people in. And if any of the children, young children, want to come up front, sit on the ground, we'll get some other people worked in here. Get up, Brady.
A little more graceful.
A little more graceful than my daughter. Here's the good news. We're all going to stand up anyway until they get some other chairs, so it's going to be awesome, right?
That's right.
Happy Easter. Everybody stand on up. Here we go.
Away, Hosanna,
first service this morning.
Yeah.
I got so fired up on the first song, we started jumping to the second song. I totally messed up going in like I just did.
He was building the king. Fred, you were building the kingdom way up here, buddy. That was awesome. Listen,
I think we need to build the kingdom together, though. You know, it's like, you know, we just need to.
We're on the first floor.
Yeah, I think I messed you up anyways. You guys ready to sing it out? Sing it together, Wiz? Ready?
Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom.
Change the atmosphere.
how many are you good at shouting? No, I mean, how many are really good at shouting? That's a little bit better. There we go. Well, you know what? Today we celebrate, and every time Christians come together, we celebrate the fact that we have a risen Savior. And that just doesn't happen all the time. Matter of fact, it only happened once. His name is Jesus. And so I want you to, this is one of my favorite songs, because it's a verse that says, "So I shout out your name from the rooftops I proclaim." We want everybody to hear the name of Jesus. We just want to have fun. That's what we're here to do, have fun, because we can have fun, because guess what? I got some good news. This world is not it. We have, for those of us who believe in Jesus Christ and are connected to him, we're just passing through. And so, but he wants us to shout out his name right here. Let's just have fun with the song. It's a great worshipful song, and we're just going to just get lost in Jesus right now, all right?
Let's start the chorus, Jill. Just sing it out.
So I'll shout out your name from the rooftops. I proclaim that I am yours. I am yours.
All that I am.
All that I am. A place into your loving hand, and I am. I am yours. Here I am before you, truth, knowing that your perfect grace has brought me to this place. Because of you, I freely live my life to you, oh God, I give. So I stand before you, God. I lift my voice, 'cause you set me free. So I'll shout out your name from the
Almighty God, we just give you praise. Let's give the Lord a praise, a clap. Let's just thank God. That we shout to the rooftops that he's alive and we're alive forevermore. And Lord God, as we're here today, whether you're visiting with us or whether you're just part of the, we look at you as part of the family, we're glad that you're here. And we just love you. And God, we just love everybody here. And we just want to go ahead and ask your Holy Spirit to move power and might. And let's just have an awesome time. In your name we pray. Amen. At this time, our children are going to go to our Sunday school Shoreline Ministry. There'll be some people out in the hallways helping people get there. For everybody else, greet one another around you. Say hi to somebody you don't know. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Totally different vibe. Told you, totally different vibe. Okay. All right, how is everybody? Everybody good? Wayne told me I'm reminded him of a picnic today, so. All right. I will guarantee you later on you'll be like getting the kids jelly beans and you'll be sitting there, shout out your name, eat another jelly bean, the same, you know, that kind of stuff. So you'll be doing it. All right. Welcome. We are thrilled that you are here today. We hope you're having a good time so far, and we just want you to, number one, here's what you do. Relax. Any way you feel, relax, well, within reason. But go ahead and relax and just enjoy and have fun. We're here to have fun. If there's any seats near you, just kind of lift your hand up. Anybody got some seats? We've got some seats up here. I think there might be some back there. Just keep your hand up. And if somebody could help people find their seats, we got some here, a couple there, and several over here because they took off. We want to make sure everybody has a place to sit. Squeeze in. You get to know people, and it's kind of good. If it gets hot, we can turn on the air conditioning. Yep. So it's good stuff. Welcome to Haven Community Church. Again, there's some here. There's one here, and there's several over on this side as well, and several right there. All right. I'll let everybody else instruct, and I'll keep going. All right. We are so glad that everybody's here today, and happy Easter to everyone as well. For those of you who are men and are interested, we have our men's group that meets here on Tuesday evenings. Now, if you came here last Tuesday, we weren't here because we're doing some stuff, good stuff like men like to do, like eating, and we ate at Red Robin, and that was kind of fun. I don't know whether, if you want to bring something to eat, go ahead. You can eat it. We'll watch you. But it's a good time just to get together and have a good time. Jake's information is in there. On the 19th, it seems like we're doing a lot of stuff about eating, picnics, shirts, and everything else. But April 19th, we will have an after-church luncheon. If you look at this as your church, come on, bring something. We're going to have a meal after church, just a time to get together. Nothing particularly special, but just spending time together. You know how, like, anybody remember when you were kids and you got together as a family and you just kind of sat and you all ate at the table? Remember how that's gone? Isn't that kind of great when you get back together and you can go ahead and sit there and eat? So that's kind of what we're doing. Youth confirmation, if anybody, any of our young people from uses 12 and up, our youth 12 and up, would like to go ahead and be part of that, there's information about that. We also are going to be starting a what we call a spiritual gifts class. If, you know, one of the things is a lot of people have natural gifts, but some of us don't understand our spiritual gifts, that God gives us certain gifts to use in the body, and then we're just gifted by the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to do a study for several weeks on the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the gifts for you. So if you want to go ahead and help discern that, you can see the information in there, and it's a great thing to do. If you ever wonder what God has the calling on your life, it's a great way to help discern that and figure that out. Now, I heard a lot of people out here singing today. Did you, Wayne?
Yeah.
Did you, Fred? Okay. Jackson? Yeah, he was, yeah, okay, so Jackson's going. Isn't he awesome? Don't you love that? I just love that. That's awesome. Nice. Some of you have talent. We should rename this Haven's Got Talent.
We should?
No, maybe not. But basically, it's an open mic night. It is not a talent show, as Wayne said, but it's just an opportunity to come together on a very special day. Everything aligned, and something wonderful happened that day on April 17th, 1971. You can figure that out. But in this year, at 6:30, there's going to be an open mic night. Anything you want to touch on with that, Wayne?
No, I mean, It's anything you want to do. I mean, we had dancers, we had people singing, and if you got to do stand-up comedy, just keep it clean, you know.
Somewhat.
And you know, I'm always available to play guitar or back you up on whatever you want to sing. So let me know. I mean, as long as it has not more than 3 or 4 chords, I can probably do it. So
yeah, music doesn't have to be Christian music. It can be secular. It just has to be clean.
Yeah. So basically, you come in, you sign up. So it's kind of first come, first serve. You know, if we have a lot of people, then maybe we'll knock down maybe one song instead of 2 songs for you. But it worked out good. Like, we had, 15, 16 last time?
Yeah. Had a good time.
Yep.
So it's a good time just to get together and have fun. And if you don't want to do anything, but you want to come and watch, go ahead. No hecklers allowed, I guess. You know. Did stream it last time, too, if you're not in the area. Something we just want to get out the information. If anybody would like to, we are in the 21st century, and we want people to be able to give to the Lord any way they'd like to. So we also have mobile and text giving, if you'd like to be part of that. Paris Foundation, on the 19th, Bonnie Racine asked me to share that. For those of you who don't know, Paris Foundation is the homeless ministry that we help with helping support food, and we always take once a month. If you're here today and you say, wow, that sounds something like you'd like to be part of, Bonnie's here. Her contact information is there. Contact her because we do need people for April the 19th. If you wonder where it is, do you know how many know where the pretzel factory is in Elkton? Anybody know where the dog wash is next door? Keep on going. Right at the end of the building right there. And Mike Brandon heads that up, and he's become a great friend and a ministry of our church. But it's a great way to serve the community. Also, anyone with our Hope Ministry, which is our addiction, our focus on addiction and all the needs in the community there, we're going to have a Narcan training on the 28th. I believe you can go check that information. And I believe we also want you to check in our bulletins. We have a list of all these, the flowers that were given, the lilies, in honor and memory of someone. And you are free to take those after church. By all means, please go ahead and do so. And we're just glad that you gave those. All right? This is a time where we also lift up some prayers for Damien here. She's lifting up her niece, who is having a C-section on the 7th and is very nervous. So we're asking for prayers for a very uneventful delivery. And for her friend Amanda, God knows the needs. Robin Hildebrand lifted up a praise today for Don Smith. We've been praying for him to be put on the transplant list, and he was. For the lung transplant. Teresa Lester has asked for prayers for her mother, Teresa, who is recovering from a broken leg, and for patience with those ministering to her as she has dementia. And for June, for her daughter Pam Grable. We know Pam from church. Pam has been diagnosed with a very high blood pressure and is having swelling and lots of other issues, so we want to lift her up in your prayers as well. If anyone is, I didn't know how to add prayer requests or anything, if you want to do it by the old-fashioned way, by hand, right back there underneath where the light back there in the back, you can fill that out. Or if you have any kind of mobile service, you can click on our website, havencc.org, and go ahead and add a prayer request. We want to make sure it's user-friendly and that the Lord can hear everybody's prayers. All right? All right, so I'd ask if you go with me now to prayer. Lord God, we come to you today in the celebration of Easter. And God, it's from that point that everything seems to come together for the rest of the world. For it's that time that you conquered sin and death on my behalf and made it possible for me to go ahead and be with you as everyone else in this world if we just call out your name and call on you and make you and say, Lord, I want to accept you as my Lord and Savior. And so, Lord, as you're here today, you give us so many blessings. There's so many joys that we have, but we also recognize there are those who are dealing with all kinds of things, all kinds of struggles. Those who are having surgeries and procedures and those who are struggling with recovery and those who are dealing with death and loss. No matter what it may be, God, somebody may have a loss of a job and may not know where to turn. And so this Easter Sunday sounds like anything but resurrection. Sounds like life is falling apart. Whatever it is, Lord God, just reach out to them. Whoever has these needs that we've listed and so many others, just touch them where they are. Just give them your peace and your guidance. And ultimately, God, we just want to be able to let the world know that we love you and grow closer in that relationship with you. For all the blessings that you've given us and all the good things that we're thankful for, we take this time to pause and give you thanks. As the scripture says, you love a cheerful giver. And God, whether we're watching online or traveling, watch it on a phone, or whether we're right here today with friends and family, and some of us may feel like strangers, but no one, when they're brought together, in the family of God and in the house of God under you, God. It's a stranger. We're all family. But no matter what it may be, we want to return a portion of that gift back to you in the form of tithe and offering, in the form of our praise and our worship. And God, may you receive our worship with a smile on this day. May it be good to your ears, and may the gifts that we give forth, may you multiply them and use them, not to keep them here in this building, not to sustain this, not to pay for that, but ultimately, God, so that we can impact this world for you. We know that in our community and world, there is a lot of needs. And only you are the answer to all these needs, God. And we give you praise in your name. Amen.
To the river I am going, bringing sins I cannot bear. Come and cleanse me, come forgive me, Lord, I need to meet you there. In these waters healing mercy flows with freedom from despair. I am going to that river, Lord, I need to meet you there. Precious Jesus, I am ready to surrender every care. Take my hand now, lead me closer, Lord, I need to meet you there. To the closer, Lord.
and went back up towards the Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him,
"You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water?"
Everybody doing okay? All right, good, good. We are going to talk about some things today. We're going to start a new series this week, and this new series is called The Hope, the Glory of Christ in You. And so it's going to be like a three or four week series that we're going to do. I like to do series because it keeps me honest, it keeps me out of trouble, gives me something else to do. Easter is about dead things coming to life. I'm really excited about going ahead and beginning today and with this new series because I believe God's got something cool in store for us. So hopefully you'll be able to make at least two or three of the four and get something together. So what I want you to do right now, I know for lack of being up and down and feel like you're doing calisthenics, I just like you want up one more time and then I'll let you sit for a little while. I want to go ahead and I'd like to start the scripture lesson, our scripture lesson. If you're not up for it, go ahead and hang out. We won't talk about you too much, but or at all actually. But I want to read this verse from Colossians, which is our theme verse for our series, from Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. And it says, To them he has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery. What is that mystery? The mystery which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Everybody say with me, a hope of glory. All right, the hope of glory is that he is risen. So I want you to high five five people and say, he is risen. Go ahead, high five people and then you can sit down. There you go. All right, you can have a seat now. Go ahead. You did what I asked you to do. Now you're good. I'm not going to make you stand the whole service. All right, most of the time when we do Easter messages, we pastors flip to the back of the gospel and start to preach about people and tombs and running and weeping and stones and all that other kind of stuff. This year I decided to do something a little bit different and starting this series, but I'm going to go to one of the coolest kind of discussions, one of the neatest kind of meetings in the scripture from John chapter 4. And anybody ever heard the statement, God works in mysterious ways? Anybody ever said that statement? It's usually when you kind of screwed up or messed up, am I right? You say, oh man, God works in mysterious ways. Or you may have won something, you say, God works in mysterious ways. Or you came home late, kids, and God, just use that as an excuse. God works in mysterious ways. I'm sorry, God. I was headed home, Dad, you know. But God does work in mysterious ways. And this seems like a little weird verse for Easter, but if I went to John chapter 11, the Gospel of John, in John chapter 11, Jesus does this really cool thing. He shows up at a graveyard. You don't want Jesus showing up at a graveyard because guess what? Nobody's in there after he's done. But he showed up at a graveyard and there was a friend of his named Lazarus, and he told him to get on up and get out, and he did. And during that point, someone came to Jesus. It was Lazarus' sister, and she said, Lord, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have been dead. And he said, hey, I am the resurrection and the life. So one thing that I want you to get, if you don't get anything else today and it's all good, get this, that the resurrection is not a happening, the resurrection is a person. The resurrection of life, his name is Jesus. And that's where I put my hope and my trust and my faith in. So we're going to talk, it's not about a historical event, but a person named Jesus. So this story, this account of Jesus is one of the coolest ones, and I'm going to do it a little bit differently. If you look in your bulletins, if you're, that's these things here, these papers that we gave you, there's a lot of blanks there. We'll let you go if you don't fill them all in, I promise. But if you want to fill those in, go ahead. It'll be a cool way to kind of connect and share some things. I'm going to give you some things in there and that God's laid on my heart, and we just want to share. And we're just going to go through John chapter 4 today. Now, one of the things that's cool about this, this is the largest account of any conversation that Jesus had with one person in the entire scripture, in the entire Bible. This is the largest one. And the other cool thing is we don't even have a clue what her name is. We just know her as the woman at the well. And so let's begin here. You can follow along with your bulletin or up on our screens or in your Bibles. You can do that as well. So, in verse 1, now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Stop. A couple of people we got to define here. John is John the Baptist. Technically means John the Baptizer. And so he's the person, everybody know baptism is one of those people dunk you under, or depending upon your denomination, sprunk at you or spit at you or whatever. I don't know, whatever. But John the Baptist, when you have a name like John the Baptizer, if people are saying you're baptizing more than the baptizer, you're pretty busy. That's going on here. The Pharisees were these religious kind of zealots. They were kind of people who hit you over the head with a big old Bible to make sure you got it. And when that didn't work, they hit you over the head with another one or a doctrine just to make sure that you got this thing. And so the Pharisees are recognizing basically that Jesus is gaining some crowd appeal. And as he's gaining some crowd appeal, we find out that they messed some things up. It says, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. Now let's look at this. Jesus, I find this is very interesting. Jesus is God, Son of God. Last time I checked, Jesus goes where he wants to. He has in my life. But it says right here that Jesus had to go through Samaria. Now, there's some interesting thing that goes on here. Has anybody ever been involved with rumors? Anybody? Anybody go to high school? Just checking. That's right. Yeah, so anybody been a victim of a rumor? I want to sing that old song. What's with all these rumors? Sorry, I'll digress occasionally in music. But here's these rumors that are going around, and they start spreading these rumors about Jesus, that these very religious people start to go, he's just baptizing more than that baptizer guy. And so they start saying this, but they got it wrong. How many have ever been the victim of, anybody ever been the victim of somebody passing a rumor that was not true? Anybody ever passed a rumor that wasn't true? Nobody's like saying, I'm not raising my hand in the church preacher. Not going to happen. But that's what was happening. And so we learn that Jesus, verse 4 really bothered me because Jesus goes where he wants to. It says, now he had to go through Samaria. Well, why did he? You know, a lot of people would have thought this would have been the perfect time. This would have been the best place and the best time to go. Why not? This is where you need to go. The rumors, we have to go here. Well, one of the things that I learned here, and this is one of the things that you learn about Jesus that is very different about us, is Jesus, and this is the first thing on your sheet, Jesus will always move away from drama to people who are hurting. Jesus does not like drama. No drama for our Lord. We like drama. A lot of people like drama. And if anybody's been part of the Universal Church in the last 2,000 years, they like drama too. The church is like drama from the beginning. Anybody ever been part of church drama? If you do, say amen. Yeah, there you go. And other people just don't want to say it. Okay. But what we learn is Jesus will go to people who others will avoid. And I was reminded of this story, the story of this lady. She had lived a very sordid past. She didn't have the best practices, made the bad choices in lifestyle, and made bad choices in relationships with men, and even in her clothing. She was just it's very skimpy, and she just was really at a point in her life where, you know, sometimes you just don't care whether you have what you think is Sunday best. You're just like, whatever that is, I don't know what that is either, but you just got this feeling. She's like, I got to get connected to God. So she said, I'm going to go back to the church that my grandmother took me to Sunday school and to vacation Bible school as a kid. So she went back in that church, and she had really high short shorts, and she had stuff poking out where it shouldn't have been normally, and plopping out here, definitely like where it shouldn't be in a church. And, you know, she walked in, and of course, everybody's like, whoa, look at that. And the preacher was preaching. He's like, oh my gosh, I've got to do something about this. So after church, he's standing there shaking hands, and he comes to her. He says, ma'am, I'm glad you came today, but I want to tell you something. I want you to do me a favor. You know, what you're wearing is a little bit provocative. So what I'd like you to do is this week, if you choose to come back to this church, I want you to go and I want you to take time and ask God what you should wear to this church. Go ahead and ask God. Can you do that for me? She said, yeah. He said, no, let me know before you come back. So she goes home during the week. It's the next Sunday. She comes to church again, and here she is. Maybe even skimpier than before. She just had this. This is what she had. So she just went. She showed up, and the pastor's sitting there like, oh my gosh, what in the world? What am I going to do? So he said, I'm gonna deal with this. So after church, once again, he calls over. He goes, ma'am, excuse me. Remember last week what I told you? I told you to make sure that you took some time and ask God about what you should wear to this church. And she said, well, pastor, I did. And he said, you did? Well, what did he say? He said he's never been to this church, so he's not quite sure what to wear. There are many places and many ministries where people call on the name of the Lord, but people won't get down and dirty and with people because they think that they're outcasts of society. Those of you who know me here at Haven Church, I believe that our church needs to get dirtier because guess what? Our world is dirty. I believe we need to get down. Jesus didn't hang out with the Pharisees. He had the problems with them. Who he loved and hung out with were the people who were the addicted, the lost, the ones who really needed him. A couple weeks ago, we shared in here that it's the healthy. Not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. God won't stay anywhere where it is a place that he keeps people out. Pharisees were concerned about who was doing what and how and where and how many and how was baptizing this and who was doing that and this and that. And Jesus says, I'm out. So he left. But why did he go to Samaria? Because he went there because he was looking for somebody. Who was he looking for? Well, maybe he went to Samaria, and, you know, the disciples are sometimes kind of dumb, and he probably said, hey, we're going to Samaria, and they say, some area? What area? No, not some area, Samaria. That's where we're going. And, oh, I got it. What are you going there for? So they go, and maybe Jesus is going, maybe he's got a big business deal. Maybe Jesus has decided this is the PR moment where he's going to go ahead and, you know, start to get some stocks at the Jerusalem Stock Exchange, and you can buy stock in Jesus, and you can have billboards in Samaria. We're going to go into an uncharted area, and we're going to do that. Maybe he's going to sell a little, like, communion wafers and stuff. I don't know. But he's going to go ahead and do this. Maybe he's going to sell little stickers you can slap on the back of your donkey that are little fish. I don't know. Maybe that's what he's doing. But whatever it is, and you say, no, no, it's not that. Maybe he met somebody on Jew date. I don't know. Maybe that's it. But he goes there, and we find out in chapter 5 why he's there. So he came to its town of Samaria, as Rachel read for us, and this is called Sychar. It's near a plot of ground that Jacob was one of the church fathers, one of the early ones. A plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. And in verse 6 it says, Jacob's well was there, and Jacob's well was an important part. It's like if you told somebody directions and you wanted to pick the main area, if you said, here's where you go and here's where you turn. It's what you look for. Jacob's well was there, and it was about noon. And Jesus was just tired. He tells us he was tired. And what do you do when you're tired? Right? You get still. Sometimes I get tired and I'm sitting there and I fall asleep with my laptop on me. You ever do that kind of stuff? I start fading. So here's Jesus. He's sitting here. He's tired. And he sits down at this well, just taking the time. And then the next section is where we really start to find out why Jesus is there. It says in verse 7, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? Now, here's a problem. It's a big problem. There's a couple things that I'm going to tell you in a little bit about noon, right? 12 noon. I'm not going to tell you at noon. I'm going to tell you about noon. Hang in there. This Jesus is talking to who? A woman who is a Samaritan. Two no-nos. Back in that day, nobody talked. Males did not talk to females. That meant you were a loose woman if somebody was talking to you. And on top of that, Jews didn't talk to Samaritans. Samaritans were dogs. It was one of the biggest racial divides in all of history. They despised each other for centuries. And here is this Jewish Jesus flopping his rear end down at a well in Samaria, and all of a sudden, here comes this Samaritan woman. She's coming at noon. Now, why did I told you that was important, didn't I? Here's why it's important. Because most of the women would go early in the morning when it wasn't hot and when it wasn't so nasty and arid and everything. They would go take their bucket, get it done. She's coming at noon in the heat of the day. Why? Many people have tried to figure it out. But I believe it's the same reason why I go places at different times than other people. It's why I go to Walmart in the middle of the night. I don't want to see anybody. You ever done that? Like, come on, let's be honest now. We're in church. You ever go into Walmart and you see that person in the aisle next to you? And you go, if they seem, you start to go, dump, 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 dump. It's like Mission Impossible. And you're sitting there and you're like, if they see me, I'm done for the next half an hour. And you dart to the other one. You look around and you peek through like the middle. Right? No, I'm not going to get that beef jerky. They'll catch me. You know, that kind of stuff. And I think she was going there for a number of reasons. Number one, what many believe is that she wasn't liked by many of the people because of her behavior. We're going to find out about that in a little while. But also she just didn't want to deal with the people because obviously something was going on. And then she comes to the well to get this done, doesn't want anybody there, and here's this Jewish man sitting on his rear end, and what does he say? You give me a drink? Just like a man, right, woman? Right, women? Just like a lazy man sitting there going, hey, give me something to drink. Got any water? I'll take that. She says, excuse me? I don't know who the heck you are. And wait a second, you're a Jew. We should not even talk it. You're a man, you're a Jew, you want something, I'm not going to deal with that. Get out of here. Go. I don't need to deal with you. And what happens in our lives, many of us seem and get to this feeling at times that that's the way God reacts to us. He just wants something from us. Always wanting, wanting, wanting. And when God asks us something, here's one thing that I want you to know. God, when God wants something, this is the next one on your sheet, when God wants something from you, it's not about what God wants from you, and it's not about his need. It's not about what God needs, but it's that God wants to give something greater to you. When God asks something from you, time, effort, whatever, it's because he wants to give you something greater. His scripture says, to whom much is given, much is required. To whom much is given, much more is demanded. And he gives you more when you have more responsibility. Parents, how many of you have ever remember that fateful day where you gave the keys to the car to your child? They were about 5 years old, correct? No. You have to build some of that stuff. They have to display that they're responsible in certain areas before you just say, here you go. Am I right? It's the same thing with God. So she says, excuse me, not going to happen. You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. We don't associate with each other. In verse 10, Jesus says, if you knew the gift of God, right here, and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Jesus is not just sitting here saying, I'm thirsty, and I'm sitting my butt here because I'm tired. She says, sir, you have nothing to draw with. You have absolutely nothing to draw water with. So how are you going to get it? Now, it's really interesting in life. Anytime I've seen when somebody tells Jesus, you've got nothing, you don't have enough. Like, I remember there's this one time in John chapter 6 where there's thousands and thousands of people on a hillside. And the disciples say, these people are hungry. And Jesus says, feed them. He said, you don't have anything. I don't have anything. She said, what do we got? They said, we got this little boy with his little Lunchable. He's got it right here. It's one of them little nasty pizza ones. He said, no, actually, it's fish and pita bread. That's a really bad Lunchable. Nobody wants that. That's disgusting. So he has that, and Jesus takes it, and he blesses it, prays, and he breaks it, and he gives it, and they feed 5,000 men plus women and children and have 12 baskets left over. Jesus said, I dare you to tell me you don't have it. I dare you to tell me I don't have it. But you see what this woman is? This woman's here, and she doesn't realize that when you have Jesus, you have everything you need. He says, my grace is sufficient. You know what that means? That means whatever's going on in your life, I've got it taken care of. Just trust in me. It's all well. But see, she's not worried about what's well. And here she's worried about the well. She says, it's pretty deep. How are you going to pull something out of there? She's not letting him go. Because here's how she came. She walked down, and here she comes. It's 12 noon. She got her bucket. Don't have to deal with that crazy person up the road. Don't have to deal with them. They ain't talking about me today. It's hot, but I don't have to deal with them. I say, oh, look at that. Oh, look. It's a Jew. And he says, give me what? Excuse me? Who do you think you are? And can you imagine this woman? Here she is. She's annoyed. She has to deal with him. And he's asking her for something to drink. And then he says, well, you should ask me to drink. She goes, it's a crazy Jewish guy. He asked me, now he's asking you, and what's he gonna, anybody else around here to take care of this guy? And you can see her. And then she says, you don't have a bucket. I got a bucket. What she wanted to do is what a lot of us like to do in life. When it comes to things of Jesus, we just like to slide in and slide back out, not be noticed, not pay attention, hope that nobody really loves us or cares about us, hope that nobody says anything to us so we can just forget about what God has for us. You see, she's frustrated in life. Can't you see her? She's reached to this point. She's annoyed. And here's my best imitation of a Samaritan woman ticked at the well. Excuse me. Are you greater than our father Abraham who dug this sucker? Mm-mm. Are you think you're greater than Abraham? And can you see Jesus just laugh and say, yeah, I made him. Jesus listens to her, and she's like, and he says, let me tell you, anyone who drinks of this water will never thirst again. Anyone who comes to this well will be satisfied. But whoever drinks this, they will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them. There's that term again from Colossians, the mystery of Christ in you. And it will be spring of water springing up into eternal life. And she's, you think she's kind of getting it a little bit, but she's not getting it because she goes back to the bucket. You ain't got nothing to pull the water out with. What are you talking about, crazy man? Yeah, hello, McFly? That's an old movie. Okay. It's really kind of cool because she came to a well with a bucket and met a man who was full who didn't need a bucket. I think what's really cool is Jesus is the first prop minister ever right here. He's sitting at a well talking to her about a well. He's talking about filling something. She's coming to get something full. He says, you're going to get more than what you bargained for, honey. Because you're not coming for just this stuff that you think here that you're going to have to come back tomorrow. I'm going to give you something called new life and eternal life. You see, so many of us are caught up with our buckets in life. We like our buckets. We get in a position in life and we say, you know, I've had this bucket for a while and I'm filling it up. And today it meet my needs, but it's empty already and it's just not doing what it did. I'll fill it up again. It's still not good. And we say, I know what I'll do. I'll get another bucket. So we go ahead and we say, okay, I'll put this bucket here. Let me see. Is there another bucket? Got to be another bucket here. Another bucket. Here we go. I know what I'll do. I'll just clean myself up a little bit. I'll make myself look a little bit better. And you know what? I'll dress better. I'll work out more, and I'll hide everything that's going on in here. And that'll fulfill me. That'll give me satisfaction. Just by everybody seeing what's on the outside, I can smile when really I'm broken inside. But you know, that's not doing it either. That bucket doesn't work either. That's a bad bucket. So let me go here. Let me see. What else have I got down here? Let me see. I know what I'll do. I've got a lot of mess in my life. I'll just clean it up a little bit. I'll shove some of it underneath. I'll mop it around, make it clean, make it look a little bit better, a little bit tidy. So anybody who looks in and sees knows. But you know what? It's still not doing it for me. It's you know, really, it's kind of dirty inside still. And I'm just still not clean. So I know what I do. You know what? I have so much to do. Everything's so massive and everybody depends on me so much. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to downsize my bucket. I'm going to move from my house. I'm going to go ahead, just change everything. I'm going to get rid of everything I had. I'm going to move to Outer Swabovia, wherever the heck that is. And I'm going to go there and I'm there. I'm going to shrink my bucket. It's going to be better. And then I keep filling it up and I realize, no, that doesn't have me satisfied either. That doesn't have me satisfied at all. Well, what else can I do? Let me see. Oh, I know what I do. The smaller bucket didn't work. I'll get a big bucket, a real big bucket. I like big buckets and I cannot lie. You other brothers don't deny. I like big buckets. There we go. But no, that doesn't fill me either. I know what I'll do. I'm really good at this. I'll go ahead. How can I go wrong here? I'll KFC it. I'll fill this bucket with it. And I'll have this bucket and that'll do. And when I run out, I'll get some more. And guess what? It's not, here's the thing. It ain't about the bucket. This woman's concerned about the bucket. And Jesus is saying, shut up. It ain't about the bucket. It's about what you're filling it with. It's about what you fill your life with. Quit staying focused on all the other stuff around you and recognize it's about me. I'm greater than the bucket. No matter what bucket you throw at me. And that's what I'm going to tell you right here on this one. Realize it's not the wrong bucket, but you're just standing at the wrong well. We're trying to fill our lives with all kinds of things that are only going to keep us satisfied for a short amount of time. You remember those commercials? Mac, I'm a Mac and I'm a PC. You guys remember them? You guys got to be old enough to remember them. That wasn't too long ago. And they'd go back and forth and they would say, the PC would say something and the Mac would say, well, I do this. And he'd say, well, I can't do that. And he said, because I'm a Mac. And what Jesus is sitting at the well saying to this lady, as he's kicked back, he's saying, honey, keep talking about the bucket, but I'm the Mac daddy here. I'm a Mac. That's a PC. I'm a Mac. You're not going to fill your life with that. I'm the only one who can fill it. It's just me. Quit getting caught up in the buckets. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water. And you're thinking, wow, she's getting it. So I won't get thirsty and I won't have to come back here and fill up this bucket. She's still worried about the bucket. Sometimes we get so close, but we get so afraid, we push away. So Jesus decides a new way of doing this, and he goes to this next section here. And in verse 16, he says this. Do me a favor. Go call your husband and come back. She says, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you're right when you say you have no husband. What you've just said is quite true. What we're going to learn here in this section is sometimes God will bypass what we hope for to give you what you really need. Because I want to share this with you. There's a story of a couple who got married. Has anybody gotten married lately? Anybody in the last year or two, three, 400? Okay. Anybody ever attended a wedding? Okay. Not many weddings. I don't know what that says. Maybe you just don't care. Maybe you just don't like going to weddings. I don't know. But this one wedding, they were getting ready, and she was getting the cake, and she wanted to have their favorite scripture lesson put on the cake. And she said she wanted 1 John 4:18 put on the wedding cake. And the wedding cake said, the scripture lesson said this: there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out all fear. So she called the bakery and told them she wanted 1 John 4:18. They said, okay, wrote it down, said, okay. So they called her back in a couple days. And when they called her back in a couple days, he said, are you sure this is the verse you want on your cake? And she said, yes, definitely. She said, yes, that's exactly the one I want there, 1 John 4:18. He said, okay, oh, are you sure? Okay. So he goes and he began to write it down. And what he put on the cake was John, not 1 John, but John 4:18. And John 4:18 says this: the fact is that you have five husbands, and the man you are with now is not your husband. What you have said is quite true. Happy wedding day. One of the things we need to learn in life is this, is that Jesus will stay with you. He will never leave you, never leave you alone or forsake you, but he will stay with you. Even if you're digging wells in all the wrong places, he will be there. You see, Jesus went right to the heart of the matter. One of the reasons this woman is coming at a different time is simply this: because she's not satisfied with the buckets that she has in her life. There may be people here right now who are living in that moment where you are very religious, but you're left unsatisfied. You're very popular, and you're still unsatisfied. You've got money, and you're unsatisfied. You've got health, you've got a job. You've got all the things that the world tells you to fill your buckets with, and you're still not satisfied. The woman in 19 recognizes that, and she says, sir, I can see that you are a prophet or a stalker. Whatever one comes first. I added that, I'm sorry. But then look what she does. She goes into this in verse 20. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we live and worship must be in Jerusalem. What is she talking about? Here they are, they're talking about buckets and water and buckets and husbands. Then they start talking about husbands, and she says, you're a prophet. By the way, you like this mountain, Jane? And you know what we do in life? When anybody, particularly God, gets close, we decide to start to deflect. Has God ever gotten really close in a very touchy area in your life? In an area that you're like, God, you aren't going there. That you start to maybe get closer to God, and he says, okay, I'm tired of talking about the buckets. Let's talk about that pain in your heart, that thing that took your heart and ripped it to shreds. Let's talk about it. And you say, nope. Well, God, I can see that you're really good, but guess what? I got to go. Talk to you later. What do you think about the weather today, God? You see, God doesn't care about those things. What he cares about is your heart and restoration. When God gets personal, this is the next one that we have. When God gets too personal, we deflect. We deflect. And so many times, I think, in religion and in life, we've used all kinds of other things to go ahead and deflect God. We put up our own rules and our own laws, and we call them denominations and other kinds of things. And we have the body of Christ so segmented that God said, I got to tell you something, you're all wrong. Because it's about me, ultimately. It's not about all that stuff that you want to do. It's about me. The woman at the well, we never know her name, and I think that's God's gift to us, because guess what? That woman is you, and that woman is me. That woman is somebody that I can relate to, because many of us have tried to fill our buckets with different things. They may be good things, but they aren't going to keep us from never being thirsty again. After she gets in that whole thing about this worshipers and mountains, Jesus says in verse 23, he said, you worship on that mountain, we worship on this mountain, but let me tell you something. A time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers that God wants. God is tired of complacency and empty games. He's tired of having to profess the scriptures that he once shared, that your lips praise me, but your hearts are far from me. He wants a love relationship with you. God wants to be the center of your life. He wants to be the well in your life. and he wants to fill you once again. God is waiting at the well for you. In verse 24, he goes into some minor discussions again about some other discussions about worshipers and spirits and truth. And then in verse 25, here we go. The woman says, I know that the Messiah called the Christ is coming, and when he comes, he'll explain everything to him. What's she doing again? Deflection number two. She would have made a great hockey goalie. Because now he's getting close, and she's saying, he said, wait a second. You see, this is what we like to do in life. We like to think we have more time than we do in our lives. And we always put off a relationship with God to the future. We want to put off our relationship with God into the future and say, well, you know, I know it's Easter 2015, but God, I'm not ready for that yet. I'll wait till I graduate high school. I got to go to senior week this year. Or you know what, God? I just got divorced, and I got to go have some fun. I've been good for a lot of years. And you know what, God? You know, I've been married for years, and I worked a job, and now I'm finally retired. I got to take time for myself. I've always been there for somebody else. I'll deal with you later, God. And the fact is, we're never assured of what later is. None of us know what later is. It could be later this afternoon, or later this hour, or later today, or later this week. And so we can't keep putting God off in our lives. So how does all this wind down? By Jesus looking at her and say, he gets tired of playing. He says, woman, I am he. I'm who you've been looking for. I am the answer to fill your bucket. I am the one that you know that you've been ignoring for years. And I came here particularly to meet with you. You are the reason why I came here to be here. I fully believe that you're here today that because Jesus himself is sitting at the well of this church saying, I came here for you. I came here for you and I missed you. I came here from you because I know that you're hurting. I know that situation in your life has been breaking you apart for 20, 30 years. I know that over the last year, you and I have broken apart because of some things that went on. But let me tell you, I haven't gone anywhere. I'm still sitting at this well waiting for you. I know that your mother died and I know that you have a diagnosis that shows that it's not a good diagnosis, but let me tell you something. I'm sitting here waiting for you. I want to fill you with what I have for you, and you'll never grow thirsty again. She finally starts to figure it out. In verse 28, in verse 27, all of a sudden, because the disciples, I forgot to tell you this back in, it says the disciples went into town to get McDonald's, whatever. It says they went in to get some food. And now all of a sudden, here come the disciples back in, and they probably got their Happy Meals toys with them and whatever, and they're going, hey, look at this, Power Rangers. Yeah. And here they come back, and they see Jesus, and he's talking to a woman, talking to a Samaritan woman. And you can see, and it says, they said nothing. You ever have those awkward moments when people see you talking to somebody you're not supposed to be talking to? And all of a sudden they go, Look here. That's what the disciples did. And listen to what this verse says. This is the most important verse. In verse 28, she finally gets it. It says, then what does she do? Then leaving what? Her water jar, her bucket behind. What'd she come to the well for? Water. What'd she leave with? Jesus, living water. You see, she got more than she planned on getting that day. And look what it says. She left her water jar or her bucket behind and went back to the town of the people that she didn't want to spend time with. That's why her rear end was there in the first place. And she goes back in verse 29. She says, come see the man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? You see, she figured it out. And then the greatest thing happens in verse 30. Verse 30 says this. They came out of the town and made their way toward them. When God's grace flows to you, there's no need for your old buckets. You know what's the coolest thing here? I said that a couple times. This is all cool. But the coolest thing is this. She came to a well, she met a well, and she became a well. She took what she received and gave back. Easter is about this, as our praise team comes up today. Easter is simply about this. That God likes to dig wells. And in that parts of your life where you're hurting, in those parts of your life where there's destruction and when there's pain and when there's sorrow, God's just digging a well to tell you, guess what? That stuff that you trusted before, it's not going to take care of it, but I can. I am living water. I can fill you up, and I can give you something that you will never thirst for anymore. I've seen every tear. I've heard every pain. I know every thought. I know every sorrow. I know every aggravation. I know what everybody's done to you. I know what's happened to you. But guess what? I'm greater than all that. Because guess what? When Jesus came into this world, God started digging a well in Bethlehem. That well grew and into Nazareth as a carpenter. It became a teacher who began to heal and began to share things about being fully God and fully human and being the Son of God. It was one that the well was nailed to a cross, suffered and died. But God sprung up that well through the power of the Holy Spirit on that first resurrection Easter morning. And from that point, from now on, the well, you can't cap it. You can't cap it. All you have to do is tap into it, and you will never, ever grow thirsty again. Amen? I want you to stand up today, if you will. I'm going to ask some of our Stephen ministers, who are people that come and are here to pray for you, anoint you, pray it. We believe anointing is just putting oil on someone, and the scripture tells us if we pray over you, we believe that God's going to get you well. And what a better way to do that than to lean on the power of Jesus Christ, which gives us power over sin and death. And so we're going to sing some other songs, and they're here. I'm here for you as well. Don't let this opportunity pass you by to be around some people who love and care about you just because you're you and because you belong to Jesus. That's what we want to do. Bow your heads. Lord God, as we conclude and end to this point, not fully the service, but we're going to sing some other songs, and we're going to go to you in prayer. I'd ask that we examine our own hearts. God, I'd ask that you place each of us carrying our bucket toward a well, and we look up and we see you. And what is our response? What are you going to say to us, God? What are going to be those areas where you're going to look into our hearts and our lives, and you're going to say, Jack, here's what you need to remove. Here's what I want to take from you. Let me pour my spirit into that area. God, I believe there's some people that may be here with every head bowed and eyes closed that today has just had a point in their life where they just need a time out, need the world to stop spinning. And so at this point, they just say, you know, I don't understand all this stuff. Much like the woman, I'm not sure what's going on here, but I'm willing to just throw my chips on the table and say, it may be you, Jesus. So if that's that person today, just kind of lift your hand up, nod or something, thumbs up and say, God, I need you. I need you in my life. I need a change. Or maybe somebody who's never heard this before in the first point in their life, or they may have heard it before, and just somehow our path got off, and we just need to reconnect once again. We're trying to be strong. We're trying to put up walls. We're trying to just live life and fill up with all kinds of other buckets. But when we really look at it, when it's time alone, God, you know that we're scared. You know that there's some struggles that exist here. You know there's even some doubts even about you. God, make yourself real to us now. If you feel that way, just go ahead and lift your hand and say, I need you. There's no, be like that woman and just go and tell people, hey, meet a man who told me everything that he knows about me. And let that well spring up in you forever. And for everyone else here, God, whatever the needs may be for them or for others, this altar's open for you. It's a place where we come and we recognize we put those things down upon this altar with other people praying with us, or even by ourselves, just to say, God, you take this. This is too big for me. And on this Resurrection Sunday, this Easter Sunday, we're going to lift it up to you. Amen.
My revelation, Christ Jesus crucified. Salvation through repentance at the cross on which he died. here's my absolution, forgiveness for my sin. And I sink beneath the water that Christ was buried in.
Turn it over to Wayne in just one more second as they do this one quick song, just to remind us that what I really believe God has been speaking to me a lot about is that we as the Christians and as the church need to stand on our faith in Jesus Christ a lot more and not be ashamed of it, and just go ahead and share the good news of Jesus Christ. Stand on that, be confident in Him, because He stood and took a cross, and He stood, again, resurrection means to stand up, as I said, and so He just was laying in the tomb, and then on that first Easter Sunday, stood up. And so now let us stand with Him right now. Have an awesome week and a happy Easter. Wayne?
Let's lift it up.
So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe. one who gave it all. And I'll stand my soul, Lord, to you surrendered all. I am is yours. I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned. It all.
Waiting for a sign that I'm